Welcome to Doers of the Word with David Middleton, pastor of Jesus' Lord Outreach Center in Phoenix, Arizona. This radio program will teach you the practical knowledge of the Word of God and give answers to your questions about the problems in your life so that you can live in victory. Open your heart and mind as Pastor Middleton shares the uncompromised Word with you today.
Praise the Lord. Glad to be with you. This is David Middleton welcoming you to the Doers of the Word radio program, where we're teaching you the uncompromised Word of God. Well, we're sharing with you about the blood of Jesus Christ, and we're talking about understanding the blood. We saw the fact that in the Old Testament, the blood is a living thing which has a voice and speaks even after death. We saw that when we were talking about in Genesis chapter 4 about how Cain killed Abel and his blood after he was dead spoke. It was a living thing that was speaking forth. We also understand that the life of the flesh is in the blood. Leviticus 17, verse 11. We saw the fact that in Genesis 17, that when a covenant was made with God, that it was entered into by the shedding of blood. We also saw that blood was also shown to signify judgment. We saw that in Exodus chapter 4 and Exodus chapter 7. And then we saw the fact that in Exodus chapter 12, that's the time where there was a protection of the Israelites from God's judgment that was coming on Pharaoh in Egypt. They were passed over and not judged when God saw the blood on the doorposts of the houses. And that was pointing towards Jesus, the sinless Lamb of God, going to the cross to redeem mankind and cleanse him from his sins by his blood, so that everybody that received Jesus would not be judged by God with those in the world who reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Christians will be protected by God's judgment because of the blood of Jesus. We also saw the blood was sprinkled upon the people after they committed to hear and to do the word of God, be obedient to all that God had commanded them to do. And we also saw that once a year, the high priest went in and put the blood on the mercy seat as a covering over for sins. Also, we saw that it was applied to Aaron and his sons' members for cleansing and the ordination into the priesthood. And that shows us the fact that the blood is key for you to be right in fellowship with God and, of course, to come into relationship with him. We're going to pick up in Leviticus chapter 14 and go on from there and talk more about truths about the blood that we see. And we're going to be going through the Old Testament and then looking at things in the New Testament. Now, in Leviticus chapter 14, in verse 2 and verse 4 to 7, here it talks about the cleansing of the leper. And it says in verse 2, "This shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. Then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, cedar wood, scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. As for the living bird, he shall take it in the cedar wood and the scarlet and the hyssop, and shall dip them and the living bird in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. And he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from leprosy seven times, and shall pronounce him clean, and let the living bird loose into the open field." Now in verse 2, here's where the leper is brought to the priest, and the leper is a type of Jesus being made sin with the sins of mankind. The cleansing points towards what Jesus does in taking away the sin of man and accomplishing the redemption. So what happens? The leper is brought to the priest, pointing to Jesus being brought before the high priest Caiaphas. And what do we see in verse 3? The priest takes the leper out of the camp, doesn't he? And where was Jesus crucified? He was taken, remember, out of Jerusalem, outside the city, and out of the camp he was crucified. In verse 4, the priest takes the two birds which are alive and clean, along with the cedar wood, the scarlet, and the hyssop. The two birds which are alive and clean speak of Jesus. The cedar wood speaks of the cross. The scarlet is a type of the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross. And the hyssop speaks of the purging of the sin, which is what Jesus, of course, accomplished. Now in verse 5, the priest ordered one of the birds to be killed in an earthen vessel over fresh running water. The earthen vessel, of course, speaks of what? The physical body of Jesus. And the order to kill one of the birds, of course, points towards what the high priest did. He ordered the crucifixion of Jesus. Now the killing of the bird where the blood would be shed over living water points to Jesus' blood shed with water. Remember when Jesus was on the cross, one of the soldiers pierced the side with a spear, and what came out? Blood and water came out, as it says in John 19, verse 34. Then in verse 6 of Leviticus 14, the other living bird, the cedar wood, the scarlet, and the hyssop were dipped in the blood of the slain bird. And the living bird speaks of Jesus after he was resurrected from the dead. Jesus, like this resurrected living bird being dipped in his blood, which of course in this slain bird speaks of this blood still in his body after he was resurrected. Remember, some of his blood was poured out, but also he still had blood in his body. We see over in verse 7, the blood is sprinkled 7 times, and the person is pronounced clean. So what's 7? The number of completion and perfection, pointing towards the purging of our sins and the completion of the redemption by the shedding of the blood of Jesus. You know, we also need to realize there were 7 times in which Jesus' blood was shed from the garden to his death on the cross. The first time was in Luke 22:44, where the great drops of blood falling to the ground. The second was in Mark 14:65, when some they beat him in the face and the blood was shed. Another one was a third in Matthew 27:26, where he had the scourging on his back. A fourth was the crown of thorns put upon his head. And the 5th and 6th times were when his hands and feet were pierced on the cross in Psalms 22:16, as it talks about. And then the 7th time occurred when the soldier pierced his side with a spear. Out came the blood and the water, as it was declared in John 19:34. Now verse 7 of Leviticus 14 says, "The living bird was let loose into the open field." This speaks of Jesus, the resurrected living bird, being free to take his blood. And what does the bird do? He flies off. What did Jesus do? He flew up to heaven, went to heaven, poured it out on the mercy seat in the heavenly tabernacle. Now remember Hebrews chapter 9, verse 21 to 24. It says, "Moreover he," speaking about Moses, "sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without shedding of blood, there's no remission. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but he went into heaven itself in the reality, now to appear in the presence of God for us." So Moses sprinkling in the blood with the physical tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry, which were the patterns, remember, the true tabernacle and vessels that were in heaven. So Jesus sprinkled his blood upon the heavenly things and the true tabernacle in heaven. His blood was the better sacrifice. Once and for all was done, accomplishing eternal redemption and as well ratifying the new covenant. Now in Leviticus chapter 14, verse 14, there's something else we want to see. Here it says, "The priest shall take some of the blood of the trespass offering, and the priest shall put it upon the tip of the right ear of him that's cleansed, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot." Now this is the work of the high priest, remember. And who was that? That was Aaron at this time. What was he doing? Applying the blood to the ear, the hand, and the foot of the people. That shows the blood applied to the members of the people who'd sinned in order to cleanse them. This points towards the New Testament reality of Jesus, our high priest. He's applying the blood to believers when we do what? When we confess our sins, and of course he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9, remember it, we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Leviticus 16 shows us something else about the blood. And this typifies the work of Jesus through the cross to obtain, accomplish the redemption. In Leviticus chapter 16, in verse 5, it talks about how he took of the congregation, the children of Israel, 2 kids for a sin offering and 1 ram for a burnt offering. And Aaron shall cast lots upon the 2 goats. One was for the Lord, and the other was the scapegoat. Aaron brought the goat upon which the Lord's lot fell, and he offered him for a sin offering in verse 9. Then in verse 10, it says, "The goat on which the lot fell to be the scapegoat shall be presented alive before the Lord to make an atonement with him, and let him go for a scapegoat into the wilderness." In verse 15, "Then shall he kill the goat of the sin offering that's for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with that blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. He shall make an atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel and because of their transgression and all their sins. And so he'll do for the tabernacle for the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness." And in verse 20 he says this, "When he made an end of reconciling the holy place and the tabernacle, the congregation, the altar, then he brought the live goat." In verse 21, Aaron lays both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confesses over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting upon the head of that goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness. And then verse 22, "The goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited, and he lets the goat go in the wilderness." Now this is Leviticus 16. And we see in verse 5, we had two kids that were used for a sin offering. In verse 8 to 10, the first goat was to be killed for a sin offering. The second goat was to make an atonement for the sins of the people. Then in verse 15 and 16, here's where the first goat was killed. And its blood was brought within the veil of the temple and sprinkled upon the mercy seat. Then in verses 20 to 22, the second goat has all the sins and iniquities of the people put upon it. And what happened? They sent that goat away into a land that was not inhabited to bear away all the sins and iniquities of the people. Now the killing of the first goat is a type of Jesus on the cross. He died physically, shed his blood, the final sacrifice of the old covenant. After his resurrection, he took his blood, sprinkled upon the mercy seat in the heavenly tabernacle to accomplish the eternal redemption. Now what about the live goat? The live goat's a type of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who was made a serpent on the cross. And when he was made a serpent on the cross, that's a reference to Jesus being made sin with all the sins of man, just as the live goat received all the sins of the people. So, Jesus was alive in spirit and soul, and where did he go? He went down, remember he was banished to a place, this goat was. He was taken down to the lowest pit of hell for 3 days and three nights to bear away the sin, just like the live goat was sent away into a land not inhabited to bear away all the sins and iniquities of the people. Another place where we read about the blood is over in Joshua chapter 2. And here, this is talking about Rahab. Remember, Rahab showed kindness in hiding the two Israelites who were come, that were spying out the land. And in Joshua chapter 2, in verse 18, it says this, "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brother and all thy father's house home unto thee. And it shall be that whosoever shall go out of the doors of the house into the street, his blood shall be upon his head, and we will be guiltless. And whosoever shall be with thee in the house, his blood shall be on our head, if any hand be upon him." And verse 21, "And she said, According to your words, so be it. And she sent him away, and they departed. She bound the scarlet line in the window." Then we see over in Joshua 6, when the Israelites came to take the city, in verse 17 it says, "The city shall be accursed, even it, and all that are there unto the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in the house, because she hid the messengers that we sent." And then in verse 25, "Joshua saved Rahab the harlot alive, and her father's household, and all that she had. And she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day, because she hid the messengers which Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." What do we see in this passage of Scripture? We see the two men were sent to spy out the promised land. The king, remember the king of Jericho, he found out the men had come into the house of Rahab. He was demanding that they bring him forth, but Rahab hid the men. And because of her kindness, she asked the men to show kindness to her father's house and save him alive when they came to conquer the land. So the men agreed to do that, and they instructed her to bind this line of scarlet thread in the window as a sign. So when Joshua came to Jericho, the city was destroyed, but Rahab and her father's house were saved. They were saved similar to the way the Israelites were protected when God judged Egypt at the time of the Exodus. Here, these Israelites were coming to destroy the enemies. And so, of course, this points again towards the blood of Jesus that will save us and protect us from God's destruction of his enemies. I want to make available the book, Understanding the Blood of Jesus, for $6, postage paid. If you would like to get it, please call me at 602-279-5212. Again, my book, Understanding the Blood of Jesus, for $6, postage paid. To get it, please call 602-279-5212.
We trust you've enjoyed the broadcast today. To purchase books, audios, or videos, please call 1-877-77-DOERS. That's 1-877-773-6377. You can visit our website at www.doersoftheword.org. If this broadcast blesses you, we invite you to become a financial partner so we can take this ministry across the nation. Until we greet you on the next broadcast, may God bless you as you are a consistent doer of the Word of God.